It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Lance Meadow.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. Welcome back from your bye week, everybody. John Schmelk, Lance Meadow with you. The Giants coming off of their bye, winners of two straight. They get the Oakland Raiders, who maybe didn't know they were supposed to play a football game yesterday against the Philadelphia
Eagles.
They
didn't get the memo.
Nick Foles with 7 touchdown passes, didn't even play in the fourth quarter of that game. And the Giants, with a chance to win 3 in a row, break a 5-game losing streak against AFC opponents. And it's good to be back. Lance, how was your bye week, buddy?
It was busy. Obviously completed the move, so it was one day after another, constant shuffling of boxes and all of the types of things.
Did you sleep in your new bed last night?
No.
In your new
apartment? This will be the first night tonight.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yes, indeed.
So the race car bed is in place.
The race car bed is in place. The Spider-Man sheets are all
okay,
put
excellent.
On. Everything's ready to go. We don't mess around.
I got to enjoy my bye week by getting sick. I've had a cold for about 4 or 5 days. I've been, kind of hanging
around.
Well,
better it come during the bye than come once the season.
Yeah, I guess. I would like to enjoy my weekend off. I still have to work a college football game on Saturday. I got to stand out in 40-degree weather and then get rained
That's
on
lovely.
For our fourth quarter. So I'm sure that helped me being sick as well.
Now, did you sit next to DiTino on the plane?
I knew this story
was going to be a good story.
I was sitting next to Fiegels, right, up in the front of the plane. And it was one of these small little prop planes, which I don't like. I don't like propeller planes.
Really? To flight to Pittsburgh? That's small?
Yeah, it was only 3 seats across. So I was sitting next to Fiegels with those empty pair of seats next to us. So Fiegels went over. And then all of a sudden, they need to balance the plane. So they bring people up from the back to sit in the front. Guess who gets sat next to me? The power walker himself.
It's got
to
be Fade. I mean, there's only one guy that should sit next to you during a flight like that.
And I threatened Michael Paul. If you bother me during this flight, you will regret it. And he actually kept his mouth shut.
Well, but remember, you get a break on Giants flights because he never sits next to you, if I'm correct.
No, he is, but we have an empty seat between us and the Giants flight.
Okay, but this time you got up close and personal with one another.
Unfortunately, yes. But it was
Making
a good flight. We had a good game. It was a good broadcast. And we're back. So if I start going into coughing fits in the middle of the show, I give you fair warning of why.
Well, it's important to tell the listeners, more important than you telling me, because
well,
I'm right
I
next to
you. I want to warn them ahead of time. If, Shakes calls in, I'm trying to give him a good answer.
Well, thankfully
and I start hacking and wheezing. That's why.
Thankfully, they can't catch whatever you have throughout the computer or airwaves, as
that
I
is
like
true.
To call
anyway,
it.
A bad week for the New York Giants, even though they did not play a game. 3 victories for the other 3 NFC East teams, the first week all year. An NFC East team did not lose a football game. The Eagles with the blowout, we mentioned it. The Cowboys by the skin of their teeth defeating the Minnesota Vikings. And the Washington Redskins, an officials review away from losing that game to the San Diego Chargers in regulation, end up winning that game in overtime. Alfred Morris, a big game on the ground, even if he didn't get into the end zone as many times as some people think he might have should have. But Lance, the Giants now, I mean, they're probably going to have to go a minimum of 6-2 the rest of the way to have a chance at this playoff berth. And you might have to go 7-1 if the tiebreakers don't go their way.
Well, right now, all they can worry about is one game at a time. And I think it's a positive that they're going to have 3 straight games at home right here out of the bye. They're getting a banged-up Raiders team, which is coming off a very bad loss. So here's a game where you can hopefully build off the momentum that you started prior to the bye. You get a Green Bay team that's also hurting. They're missing a lot of key ingredients in terms of Randall Cobb, JerMichael Finley, just to name a few. And then, obviously, it's going to be the key game November 24th against Dallas, because if you want to have any hope in doing some damage in this division and trying to get past that tiebreaker situation, you have to beat the teams that are in front of you.
Well, that's it. And if they lose 2 to Dallas, they lose that head-to-head tiebreaker, and pretty much, unless the Cowboys totally go into the tank, which with their defense, it's not out of the realm of possibility, an injury to Tony Romo, who knows, that's the game the Giants really do have to win 3 weeks from now on November 24th, and that is the weekend before the Thanksgiving holiday. 201-939-4513. We haven't talked to you guys in about a week. We're good to get back on the lines with you fellas, and let's start with Maurice in Montclair, New Jersey. Mo Manning, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I just want to first say I hope everyone had a great week and goodbye week, and I also hope that you do get better, John.
Mo, I appreciate it. I hope I get better, too. This has been hanging around for about 5 days now, and it really pretty much sucks. I got to be honest with you.
Well, the weekend sucks for me because I watch no football. But my question is for first the Giants. What is our biggest concern and one of our biggest factors we have to clean up moving forward for our second half of the season? And I didn't watch none of the Eagles and Raiders games, so I want to know what are some of Oakland's strengths and what are some of their weaknesses that we can exploit going into this game?
Not too many strengths after a performance like that, Mo, in terms of getting beat up by the Eagles.
And the funny thing about it, their defense actually had been their strength this year. Their defense had actually played pretty well this season until Nick Foles basically tore them apart, Mo. And look, obviously their passing game's not great. Terrell Pryor, more of a runner than a passer. Their wide receivers can have some dropsies at times. Darren McFadden is hurt as well all the time. That guy can't be relied upon for anything. So, look, they're more of a defensive team than an offensive team as you look ahead to Oakland, and they don't have that many playmakers on offense except for Terrell Pryor running the football, and when McFadden's healthy, maybe him. But, Lance, nobody in that offense, to me, really scares you.
No, it's not a devastating offense in terms of a lot of firepower, and Terrell Pryor really becomes the one guy that you need to focus in on because he's been the leading rusher more often than not with McFadden battling injuries. Rashad Jennings has been used to fill the void here or there, and the Giants may see him depending on the health of McFadden heading into this weekend, and the Giants have been very good against the run in stopping mobile quarterbacks. Yeah. So if they can contain Terrell Pryor, Mo, I think they have a very good shot at controlling the tempo in that game.
And Mo, as to the first part of your question, what I'd say about the Giants, what you have to worry about really is getting that spark back in your offense. They've cleaned up the turnovers the last couple of weeks. You want to keep playing clean football. You want to clean up your penalties a little bit, which did pop up in that game against Philadelphia, but you got to get that big play back into your offense. And I'm not saying rely on it. I still want to see that short passing game as the offensive line is what it used to be. But I want to see some catch and run after the catch for some big plays maybe. I got to see a more explosive offense that gets into the end zone. And that's going to, frankly, have to come from Reuben Randle. It's going to have to come from Akeem Nicks. It's going to have to come from Brandon Myers because teams are at the point now where they're not going to let Victor Cruz beat them over the top. So somebody else is going to have to do it, and the Giants will have to find that person.
Okay, well, do you think that since we had the bye week, do you see at all our running game improving to help get some of those big plays downfield?
Well, I think they're going to get some new personnel back, so that should help. Andre Brown has been practicing. That could give them a boost. David Wilson's still a question mark, battling that neck injury, but you assume that as long as they don't put him on IR, and Mo, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in, that he'll be able to provide this running game somewhat of a spark. I think Peyton Hillis has been a bright spot, giving them somebody who could pick up some short yardage, can also serve as a receiver. So if you're talking about having three or four running backs in the mix, just think about how much more dangerous as this running attack can get and how much more pressure you're putting on the opposing defense to say, okay, now we don't just have to stop a Peyton Hillis and a Michael Cox. We got to stop three different style running backs.
And get the play action pass back. It's one of the things Eli Manning traditionally has been best at. It's how he makes a lot of his big plays. And again, we saw them commit to the run the last 2 weeks because the defense has been so good. It's allowed the offense to commit to that running game, but it hasn't been effective enough. 2-3 yards a carry. You're not going to get that safety up in the box to stop these guys when they're only getting 2 or 3 yards a play. So you got to get to the point where you're more consistent and effective on the run down and down out.
The positive is at least they've had more balance on offense, John, the last few weeks. But you're right. It's one thing to have balance where you're running it 30 times and you're passing it 35 times, but it's another thing to actually take advantage of that balance and punch it in. And the disappointing factor coming out of this Eagles game, which was their last contest before the bye, was they were able to move the football. They were able to put long, sustainable drives. The problem was they were settling for Josh Brown field goals. And that's something that you could get away with against the Philadelphia team that lost its starting quarterback and couldn't do much on offense. But it's another thing settling for those field goals against a Green Bay Packers team, against a Dallas Cowboys team, against a Washington Redskins team. You maybe could pull that off against an Oakland team, which clearly is struggling, but you can't take that for granted. That's why it is going to be important in the second half of the season, these last eight games, that the balance continues. But when they get within that red zone, you want to, more often than not, be settling for a touchdown, not necessarily a field goal.
And a couple questions on those running back situations on Twitter. You can, by the way, participate in the conversation on Twitter at hashtag GiantsChat. Wayne at Wayne Sar with Andre Brown back. Which running back is going to get shafted? And I think at this point, the most likely roster move, Lance, is to probably move David Wilson to IR. I haven't heard a medical update on him quite yet. I'm sure the Giants will give us some type of word today in Coach Coughlin's press conference. If not today, then Wednesday. And we'll see if they go in that direction. I think another position where they could make a move is tight end, where they have four guys that hopefully Adrian Robinson is finally healthy that can play. And if Adrian Robinson isn't healthy, maybe you move him to IR. If he is, you can maybe make a move with Larry Donnell, and then you go from there. So I think those are the two spots where you have a little bit of wiggle room.
But there is a chance that they could part ways with a running back. I think that you at least have to throw that into the conversation.
Where do you think they go if they do that, though? It's tough.
It is very tough. I'm going to throw out the name, and I know a lot of people are probably going to be disappointed for me to say this, but if Brandon Jacobs is not fully healthy with that hamstring injury, John, are you willing to sacrifice a roster spot when you know you still need depth in other positions? Because health is not a guarantee when it comes to this team.
If Jacobs still can't play, I'll buy that. But if he's healthy, I don't see them moving him. And Peyton Hillis has been too good in pass protection and as a receiver out of the backfield. I can't imagine them cutting him loose. So then you're down to the Michael Coxes of the world.
And I don't see them cutting him because he's a draft pick. And the Giants like to at least keep draft picks around.
And he's pretty good on specials.
So it's a very tough decision. That's why, to me, Brandon Jacobs would be the first one. Not that I'd say they have to get rid of him, but right. If you need to get rid of a running back, to me, based on the health factor and based on the factor that you're going to have Peyton Hillis to be your big bruiser, you're going to get Andre Brown back, I don't know if there's enough carries to go around at this point for a guy like Jacobs. That's the only reason why I throw that name out. But I think at the end of the day, the Giants can make space to retain all their running backs, assuming that they can maybe put a tight end on IR or part ways with a tight end, or maybe move somebody else who's been banged up by injury, such as a David Wilson.
And then A.J. Marshall, who do you think is going to start a running back on Sunday with Andre Brown coming back and Brandon Jacobs potentially healthy from that hamstring? I think Andre Brown's probably the starter on Sunday if he's healthy.
I would say that they probably go with Andre Brown, but don't be surprised if Peyton Hillis still gets the bulk of the carries. I mean, do you want to juggle it that much after you've at least built some consistency? I'm not saying that the running game has been explosive. You're still not getting the yardage per carry that you want. You're still not executing in all these short yard situations. However, we've had two straight weeks now to see the Giants perform with the same offensive line and at least the same running back personnel. Do you now all of a sudden want to experiment again?
No, I agree. I think Hillis will get the majority of the carries, but I still think Andre Brown might get the start because Hillis is going to be in all those third down situations.
And that's fair to balance the load out to start at least moving Andre Brown back into the mix so that you know how you're going to balance out carries moving forward.
You make an excellent point, though. If Hillis is the guy on third down that's catching balls, that's going to be the pass protector, and Andre Brown's going to be your short yardage guy and get a lot of that, you know, first and second down work, where is Brandon Jacobs going to contribute? It's a fair question to
ask. It's a numbers game. That would be my biggest concern for Brandon Jacobs moving forward.
And generally speaking, you don't have room to split your carries among three running backs. Not the way this team generally passes the ball so much.
Plus, Michael Cox can take those four or five additional carries if you're going to throw them out there to have.
Right, and I know Jacobs has done a lot more special teams work since he's come back, but you'd want to keep the younger guy. I think that's an interesting thing to keep an eye on. We'll see again. Maybe the update with David Wilson will solve that problem on its own, and then the Giants will move on from there. 201-939-4513. Is this regular or Big Ed in Maryland? It's regular Ed. Regular Ed is in Maryland. What's going on, Ed? How are you?
What's going on, John? What's going on, Lance?
Good to hear,
yeah, I was seeing the games yesterday, and it's just so funny how, you know, you turn into Chargers and Vikings fans watching them play the other NFC East team. And I was just so mad at Mike McCoy. He had a chance to win that game at the end of the Chargers, and he's in shotgun full wide passing the ball.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't try to run the ball into the end zone at least once there. They had the time to do it.
Well, I mean, he did try to run, but it was on second down. He was in shotgun three wide, and it was a shotgun run.
Yeah, power run, I mean, right.
yeah, I might, you know, just go in there and go live jumbo set and pound it in. But yeah, I mean, that kind of gives us a blow. Now we're, what, 3 games back with 8 games to go. And I was trying to, you know, go off of Jerry Reese press conference, but you guys were on the bye week. And it just kind of seemed like Jerry Reese, you know, stemming off of last season, he wasn't too pleased going finishing 9-7 the past two seasons. And starting off 0-6 this season, and yeah, we have some hope winning the last two games. But it seems like even if we finish 9-7, Jerry Reese has his finger on the trigger to make coaching changes. And so I'm just, you know, like I want to be optimistic, but if we lose, you know, even one of these next 8 games, you know, we have to start planning for the future. And also a big part of it is if we don't score down there in the red zone. And, you know, I just don't see how we could, you know, go through these next 8 games and, you know, keep having the same Kevin Gilbride problems down in the red zone or the turnovers or whatever and, you know, have a positive outlook for the offseason. So my question is, when do you start making changes this season to get a good look for the next season? Because, you know, guys like Lewis Murphy hasn't gotten any snaps. They always say it's a numbers game. But he was brought in for his speed, for his talent, but he's not being used. Guys like Michael Cox should be playing more. You know, the defense is pretty much playing good for the most part. But, you know, I just don't know how we could, you know, have a positive outlook if we lose one more game.
Well, again, I know you say play for the future, and I get that, but if you're playing for the future, don't you still want Reuben Randle to get as many reps as possible? Don't you still want to see Hakeem Nicks on the field as much as possible so you can make an educated decision as to whether or not you want to resign him? I mean, you still want to see Payne Hillis a lot to see if he's the guy that maybe could be here long-term on defense. I mean, you're already playing a lot of young guys. Maybe you get DeMontre Moore a couple more snaps, Jonathan Hankins a couple more snaps, but I don't think you can really change much personnel-wise when you're, you know, quote-unquote playing for the future. I think the Giants are going to try to win games. They're going to put their guys out there, see what they got, and they have so many free agents in the offseason, they'll make the decision when the time comes. But I'm happy you brought up that Jerry Reese press conference because, like we warned you on Monday when we did the show and Tuesday morning when Lance hosted last week, Jerry Reese didn't say a whole lot because that's just the way he does his press conferences. They ask him about specific things. He gives very general answers. And frankly, you don't get a whole lot out of it. He didn't give you a whole lot, which I think if you've seen a Jerry Reese press conference, that's what you've come to expect. But if there's one thing to me, Ed, that you can glean out of that press conference, and I think it's something that Lance and I have said since the beginning, Tom Coughlin will be the head coach of the Giants more or less as long as Tom Coughlin wants to be head coach of the Giants.
And you see, that's where I kind of disagree because, you know, going off the last season, Jerry Reese was disappointed finishing 9-7. I mean, for a Super Bowl team to come back and miss the playoffs and, you know, once again start 6-2 and have the second half collapse, it's like it's an ongoing thing with Coughlin. I mean, I love Coughlin, but if Jerry Reese wants to keep Coughlin for next year, which I wouldn't mind seeing him come back, you have to make changes. I mean, you just can't keep going on with the red zone issues. These red zone problems was a problem last year.
Well, but so, Ed, no, I didn't mean to cut you off, but keep in mind, when you look at that Eagles game and there were red zone troubles all across the board, once again, I pose the question, was it play calling or was it lack of execution? Because remember, Manning hits Hakeem Nicks in the corner of the end zone. A step or two prior, he probably gets both feet in and they score. Then there's the play where Dinell goes out of play. He keeps his feet in. That's probably a touchdown. Reuben Randle had an opportunity in the end zone. It's not as if guys are not getting open, Ed. I just think the mental lapses are all across the board, and that's what's holding this team back.
You know what? I mean, that last game, actually, we showed some positive strides with Eli being patient in the pocket. He had time to, you know, throw the ball. And the play call was actually pretty decent, so I can't even say it was good by last game. But, you know, the same problem still, you know, happened. You know, we still go 3-and-out. Once we have great field position, we start at the 40, at the 50, then you can't do nothing with it. So, I mean, last game, it was actually better play call. So, yeah, I could the players, but, you know, it's, you know, that doesn't mean next game it won't be a play caller. So, I mean, I'm not putting the whole blame on Gilbride, but I'm just saying, you know, for these next 8 games, if we don't show improvement and go on a nice run, maybe. And to me, I would like us to win all these next 8 games because I don't want to see another 9-7 record. I'm pretty sure Jay Reese doesn't want to see that either. So, if we can win these next 8 games, then that's the only reason I can see to keep everything as is, keep Gilbride, keep Fuel. But, you know, another second half collapse, which we're prone to having, which is possible, changes have to be made. I mean, I would like for us to continue off this win streak. I think the defense turned the corner. On offense, we always move the ball. It's just that we can't score touchdowns. And when you play football, it's all about scoring touchdowns. If you're not scoring touchdowns, you're not doing anything. Field goals aren't going to win any type of game. I mean, it won it for us last game, but, that can't continue. But just as far as the outlook for these next eight games, those division games are key against the Skins twice and the Cowboys and the Eagles. And realistically, if we lose one of those games, it's over. So, missing the playoffs 4 out of 5 years, you definitely have to make changes. I know Reese didn't say that in his press conference, but if you could read between the lines, he kind of did dodge the question, like, you know, a little bit, and was kind of not trying to say what he's really thinking. But I could kind of, you know, take from what he didn't say that if he finished 9-7 or worse, that, you know, changes have to be made. So if Kaufman stays, I think Kaufman has to make changes on his coaching staff or his personnel.
All right, Ed, thanks for the call, pal.
All right, thanks, Zach.
Hey, look, remember, even if Jerry Reese wants to make a move with the head coach, that's nice. The head coach only gets changed if ownership wants to make a change with the head coach. They brought Tom Coughlin in, and they're the ones that's going to decide if it's time for Tom Coughlin to step out. And as far as I understand it, they still love head coach Tom Coughlin. They think he's a good football coach. They don't think this is his fault. So you're right, though. If you crash and burn this season, you go to 4-12 and 5-11. Lance and I have talked about this a bunch. I think you go to Coach Coughlin and you say, look, Tom, how much longer do you want to coach this team? If you want to coach him for 2 more years or more, that's fine. Let's do it. Let's give you a 1-year extension. We're fine. And then in that case, maybe you can change one or two of the coordinators, because then at least you have continuity for 2 straight years with the same guy. But if he says, guys, look, I only want to coach 1 more year, I think then you have a tough decision. You don't want to change coordinators and keep your coach 1 more year, because that means you're going to have 3 different coordinators in 3 different years if you bring in a new head coach in 2015, okay? So then you're down to the fact you stick with the status quo for 1 more year and then make wholesale changes when Tom retires after a season. Or do you try to expedite the process and move on from your head coach early if he knows he only wants to coach 1 more year? So I think a lot of what happens in the offseason, Lance, is going to depend on how much longer Tom Coughlin wants to coach.
Well, that's an important factor that they're going to have to discuss when the time is appropriate. But right now, I really don't think that Jerry Reese and company are thinking about potential changes to the coaching staff. And I understand where the fans are coming from, like Ed, you know, thinking a little bit ahead. Hey, you know, they're 2-6 right now. The Cowboys are 5-4. The mathematics are not necessarily in their favor. And just missing out on the playoffs is not necessarily going to give them any benefits come the draft or moving forward. But I just don't think those are the types of conversations that are happening behind closed doors. But if, unfortunately, they fall short and they're not able to turn things around here in the second half, then you need to first talk to Tom Coughlin and then decide, is it appropriate to make changes within the staff? But I think the changes are going to be happening more than likely with respect to the personnel, John, than I would say than a big shakeup with respect to the coaching staff. Because this is not the first season that the Giants could potentially fall short on a postseason bid. And they haven't necessarily had that itchy finger to shake up the staff in prior seasons. So what makes you think that things are going to drastically change this offseason?
Well, you have a couple in a row, 4 out of 5. I get that. And look, if they do finish 5-11, 4-12, even 6-10, if I had to guess, and I don't know anything, would I have to – if Vegas said to me, DeJohn, would you bet on every single coach coming back or there being at least one change in either a coordinator and assistant coach position? If this team really struggles and finishes 5-11, I think you're going to have a couple of changes. I'm not sure if it's going to be at the offense and defensive coordinator level, maybe special teams. People have talked about that. But again, this is all speculation. Maybe in a lower assistant will move on.
Or a positional spot.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think there will be some type of shakeup in the offseason if the team really finishes poorly, just because when you have that bad of a season, that's what happens. But I don't think there's going to be a wholesale shift of the staff here. I mean, that isn't their way to force Tom Coughlin to fire his coaches.
And that's the only way that I see wholesale changes coming. If Tom Coughlin decides, you know what, I want to hang it up, I'm tired. But I just don't see him deciding that he wants to go out this way, especially if the team does not finish very strongly in the second half.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Victor down in Texas. Victor, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing all right, Victor. What's up?
Man, I missed this show, man. Lord, that week off sucked.
Good to be back, Vic.
Yeah, I like to thank the Chargers Raiders and Vikings for doing absolutely nothing for us. I appreciate it.
Well, the Chargers were close, Vic. They couldn't execute in the red zone.
The game. They should have ran it in. I mean, I don't
understand. Hey, Vic, honestly, though, in fairness, the AFC West has done an awful lot to knock down NFC East teams this year. So they were due to have a couple of losses here at some point.
Yeah, there was just another letdown. It feels like we've lost and we didn't even play. So I watched the Jerry Reese press conference too, and Jerry is a master at saying a lot and not saying anything at all.
Yep.
I mean, I watched that and I listened to him. I said, okay, he's going to say something profound or, you know, it's what we do. You know, we build players here and we want players to da-da-da. I was like, okay, whatever, man. But Jerry Reese is gonna have to make changes, and I totally agree with what you said, Lance. If Tom Coughlin says, "Look, I want to coach a couple more years," there's gonna be some give and take between Tom and the organization. Okay, Tom, we want you to coach, but look, this is what we got to do. We have to get a new coordinator or somebody. I don't think it's gonna be a low level guy like, hey, we need to change out the strength conditioning coach. No, it's gonna be something significant to put a spark back in this team.
That's fair.
And yeah, definitely. And it's gonna have to happen anyway. If Tom actually says, "Hey, I want to coach one more year," well, one more year, you got to start preparing after that anyway. So it's gonna be a process. But like I said, they're gonna ask Tom Coughlin what he wants to do. And in my opinion, if the team goes 5-11, no coach wants to actually end his career on a losing note. Maybe 8-8 or 9-7, but not a 5-11. And if you think about it right now, I mean, the Jets have the front page in New York, and that is just horrible. You know, no one wants to end their career in New York with the Jets being front page news and you being back page news. And real quick, on the running back situation, I agree. I think Andre Brown should come back. But like you said, Peyton Hillis is a great blocker. He's great on passing downs. I like to have him in there. You sneak him out the backfield, and he catches the ball good out the backfield.
Yep.
I think you bring Andre Brown back in slowly. You know, don't give him 20 carries automatically in one game. Bring him back slowly. Get him into the mix. And if one of our running backs needs to go, I mean, you got to look at the health of David Wilson first. Is David Wilson, can he come back from this? I mean, is our record – you know, going to indicate something that, well, we don't need him to come back. We need him healthy next year. And we need to get rid of somebody, possibly him. Or if he can come back, Larry Donnell. I mean, he has shown me nothing. He's shown me that he doesn't know how to block. He's shown me that he knows how to run out the end zone and catch and not stay down. I mean, seriously, I'm looking at him, and he hasn't shown that growth. I love to get a guy like Adrian Robinson back and see what he's about. But this last thing, and I'll leave you with this, and I think we've talked about this plenty of times, but, I mean, this next game against the Raiders, if the Giants haven't seen anything of what the Raiders have done is, they allow you to have big screen plays. And I'd like to see one get completed for positive yards. I don't care if it's a yard, positive yards, and not an interception. We all look at it, and we think it's a mixture to me, guys, about – not letting that play develop. Eli needs to – the premise behind that is to have the defense rush you. I think he gets scared of the rush, and he just rushes it. Like you said before, John, he rushes it too much. And I think you have to – if it's not there, throw it at the feet. Throw it at somebody's feet or just throw it away. You know, I would love to see them complete that.
Well, screen plays is something that would be nice to see the Giants add to the offense, Victor, and it may be wishful thinking at this point, given the fact that they have lacked execution on that side of the ball, but that is something that, you know, could help balance out this offense. And Vic, always good to hear from you. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in this morning on Big Blue Kickoff Live. They've got to get running backs, multiple running backs, that can catch the football consistently. That's the best way to solve the screen woes. Peyton Hillis has shown that. The other running backs, not so much.
Yeah, you know what, though, it's more than the running back. The offensive line has to sell it better. The quarterback has to sell the play better. The quarterback has to keep that defensive line coming at him. but be able at the same time to make a good pass to the running back. So, look, it's not just the running backs. That whole screen operation from the running backs to the offensive line to the quarterback has been a mess for years.
And as Victor touched on, a lot of it has to do with Eli Manning, his decision-making, whether or not he gets rid of the football quickly. You, as you mentioned, John, all three facets have to work together, have to be in sync for them to execute a screen pass.
201-939-4513. James is in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Hey,
James, what's going on, man?
Not much, you?
Doing all right, James. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to say, like, about this week, the Giants against the Raiders, after Nick Foles having 7 touchdown passes yesterday, Eli, he should be able to do even better than that because he's definitely – I mean, Nick Foles is a good quarterback, but I think Eli, you know, is still a great quarterback. And, you know, as long as he's not making stupid throws and stuff like that. And I think – personally, I think they have a chance to come back and win the division because Dallas, you know, is one of those teams, you know, messes it up all the time. And Philadelphia and Washington aren't very good either. So I think they have a chance to come back and win. And then you got Brandon Jacobs and Peyton Hillis as the combination of running back. I think they're two good power running backs. And that can help carry the load, too. And now their defense is picking it up lately. So I think they have a chance to come back and win the division. So,
well, look, James, it'll be tough to come back and win the division. I mean, you're talking about probably 6-2 at worst, 7-1 more likely being the necessary second-half record. But, look, the Giants should have a chance to play pretty well against Oakland. You mentioned the success the Eagles had against them last week. That being said, the Raiders' defense has been pretty good this year. I think that was kind of a aberration more than it was a habit for them this past week. But if the Giants go into that game, protect the football, and don't make stupid mistakes, they're the more talented team, and they should win the game. I don't think there's any question about it.
Well, I know it'd be tough, yeah, to whatever. But I mean, as long as they keep winning, I can see it happening. I'm not saying it's gonna happen. You obviously know what I'm saying. You know, that Dallas and them are those kind of teams that mess it up. You know, like they messed it up against Detroit last week, and you know, almost lost yesterday, but I mean, it would be if the Giants can at least finish strong, it would be nice at least to finish strong, considering the way they started, you know, at 1-6. So.
Well, James, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in. And you're right, nobody's run away with the division, so it's definitely feasible. I think that was the big point that James hit on. Dallas has had games where they probably should have won. They let those slip away. Washington, Philly, all three teams outside of the Giants have had games that, you know, they were in a position to close the door, add a W to the column, and things have just fallen apart late in these contests. So as a result, nobody's gotten hot at the right time. Nobody's gotten on a lengthy winning streak. Therefore, the Giants are in prime positions.
Hey, look, great opportunity, though, for the Giants. Look, the Cowboys play at New Orleans next week. Then the following week, they have a bye. So the Giants could, in effect, if the Cowboys lose at New Orleans, which I think, I'm not going to say is likely, but I think it's more chance that they lose than win in that game. I'm sure the Saints will be probably 5 to 6 points favorites in that contest. The Giants will have a chance to be only legitimately 1.5 games out, perhaps, heading into that week, because right now it's 2 in the loss, 3 in the win. So it could actually be down to 1 game if the Giants win their next 2 against Oakland and Green Bay and Dallas loses to the Saints. It could be a 1-game-in-the-lost-column scenario here heading into that contest for the Giants and Cowboys. And then if the Giants can win that game, all of a sudden they win their final 2 in the NFC East. They're right in the mix. They really are.
Well, that's the thing, what you just mentioned, John. They have to sweep Washington, yeah, and they have to beat Dallas. You can't afford to lose a game within the division at this point.
No. You got to go 4-2 in the division. You have to.
It's out of the question. You lose 1 game in the division, that pretty much ruins your chances.
Because Dallas right now is 3-0 in the NFC. So you figure there, at minimum, are going to go 4-2.
Because, see, when you're talking about the Giants winning the division, as you've pointed out time and time again, John, it's not just about the Giants getting hot and winning the majority of their second-half games. It's also winning the tiebreaker. Right. In order to win the tiebreaker, you have to have a good division record. Right now, the Giants do not have a very good division record.
1-2. All right. Hopefully, this caller has taken the bye week. It's going to bring something new to the table. Maybe she's relaxed a little bit. Had a couple of beverages over the weekend that might have calmed her down. But now she's back at work on Monday morning. Maybe she's cranky. I don't know. We're going to see. Let's go to Ann in D.C. Ann, what's going on?
I'm just happy she's using her real name.
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing great, Ann. How about yourself?
Okay. I'm just going to talk really quick.
Sure.
because I'm at work.
Okay.
Now, I looked at the Eagles game yesterday, but let me say this much about Jerry Reese. Jerry Reese appears to be a figurehead. He doesn't really have any clout. And I don't know why these guys who called in this radio station are going to say, I mean, I'm sorry, called into this show, think that he has it. They should be able to process a thought. Duh. You can see the man doesn't have any power.
Yes, he does. He's the team general manager, Ann.
Well,
Ann, no, you're wrong.
Ann, who's pulling the strings
then? Can I finish? He's general manager in title. Tom Coughlin was there before Jerry Reese was the general manager. He was there when Ernie Accorsi was there. And I believe Tom Coughlin is making most of the decisions, and I believe Jerry Reese is just a figurehead.
And we have a reporter that works for us in the draft room the Giants make their picks. We see the conversation. We have it online. It's Jerry Reese making the decisions.
It's very buttoned up, okay? It's very buttoned up. We can't even get Tom Coughlin on the show so I can riddle him with questions. Secondly, in the bye week, what's his name? Tom Quinn should have been fired in the bye week. He is still sitting here on a job. Are you kidding me? And I believe that in order for there to be a shakeup there, I think the ownership ought to be ashamed of themselves for bringing that product. Let me say this much. The Giants have never started out losing all of their games like they have. They usually lose at the end of the season, so I see no reason to believe that they can turn it around. Because they don't use tight ends in their offense. I saw Gronkowski yesterday helping the Patriots out. They want to keep using those little receivers, and they're not physical. They're not strong. The reason why the Eagles put up so many points on touchdowns because they had two big tight ends out there. I think it was Zach Ertz and Brett Celek. The Giants don't use their tight ends. They use those little receivers. Rather, it's Little Jernigan, Victor Cruz, Hakeem Nicks, or Randall. They're not physical.
All right, Ann, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. I mean, look, I know you want to use the tight ends more. That's fine. But if you don't know if you noticed, DeSean Jackson and Riley Cooper had almost 300 combined receiving yards yesterday. 300 between the two of them. They're two wide receivers. The Giants have had a ton of success playing with their wide receivers over the last 5 or 6 years offensively. And Hakeem Nicks is a physical wide receiver. He's one of the more physical wide receivers in the game. Reuben Randall is getting there. He's not quite there. He's still trying to figure it out. Look, is the tight end position important? Yes. Do they need to get more out of Brandon Myers? Yes. But let's not throw the wide receivers here by the wayside. They're good, and if the Giants are going to be effective again, they're going to have to get a lot of production out of those wide receivers.
Well, the tight end group has not stood out. I'm not necessarily going to counter what Ann's saying. I disagree with the Rob Gronkowski comparisons. I mean, we're really going to sit here and compare what Rob Gronkowski gives the Patriots and what Larry Donnell gives the Giants? Come on. I mean, that to me is a pointless conversation. The Giants expected more production out of their tight ends. We're not going to try to hide that and cover that up. They expected Brandon Myers to come in, digest the system quicker, learn to be a blocker, and go out and not necessarily catch 79 receptions like he did with the Oakland Raiders, but
give me 55.
Be a serviceable guy, another threat, that fourth option. It hasn't panned out through the first half of the season. So as far as I'm concerned, the tight end spot has been a big disappointment for this team. But let's not forget, and I've brought this up time and time again, if you want to rip the Giants for the lack of production out of the tight end position, then that means that you are not taking into consideration what Mike Pope and this team has done in years past, because they have taken unknown commodities and turned them into very productive players.
Jake Bauer can't find a job, and he was a very effective tight end for the Giants.
Kevin Boss, did he not have a good season when he was here in New York?
Martellus Bennett got a $25 million contract based on what he did here last year.
So I don't want to field calls and tell me that it's the system that's not working anymore. Maybe you just need to look in the mirror and say, you know what, this personnel group is not what Jake Ballard and Kevin Boss have brought to the
table. And if you want to criticize Jerry Reese for that and you think it's the personnel, then that's fair.
That's a valid part of the conversation. But I don't want to sit here and say that the Giants system is all of a sudden broken down and that's why the tight ends are not effective. Brandon Myers, it's been well documented, has not bought into the system, or I shouldn't maybe bought in is not the right word, but he's not adopted to becoming a blocker as quickly as they had anticipated.
And he hasn't gotten in sync with Eli Manning as quickly either.
Correct.
No question. They've had too many opportunities or they've been on different pages. So, Ann, you're right. The tight end issues have been there. That has to get better. But again, like Lance said, it's not the system. I think it's, you know, Brandon Myers, frankly, not playing as well as he needs to play here to give the Giants what they need. And Adrian Robinson being hurt the whole first half of the year certainly hasn't helped either. They expected big things out of him this year.
So when you don't have the usual suspects in the mix anymore, clearly the production is going to take a dip, and that's what has affected the Giants in the first eight games.
Let's go to Steve in D.C. Steve, thanks for holding, buddy.
Hey, what's happening, guys?
What's up, man?
Today? Hey, I missed you guys, man. Big time.
It's good to hear from you, Steve. Thank you.
Fighting a little cold myself. But listen, I had a range of topics. I mean, you know, the call's been great. You know, I kind of agree with a lot of, you know, a little bit of everything that everybody said. You know, I'm not sold on the figurehead for, you know, that Ann was talking about as far as Jerry Reese. I think she couldn't be any more wrong about Jerry Reese. I think that personally, you know, he's playing chess, not checkers. And first of all, I think he said exactly what he needed to say and nothing more. He left a little bit of, a little bit of fire under Tom Coughlin as well, and it needs to be. I don't think he's willing to tell Tom Coughlin he has to go or anything like that, but to me, I want to talk about, you know, fixing the problems and trying to win some games moving forward. So with that being said, you know, I also want to, you know, talk about the tight ends. I do think that, I heard in an interview they basically strategically decided, to not use the tight ends, you know, as far as the catching game. They just want to use them as blocking. And as far as, you know, Myers, I told you guys in the third week of camp, that this guy had not, looking at his interview, he was not going to buy into the blocking at all. He's not a Giant, you know. He's not bought into the system, so I'm going to go ahead and say it. You guys don't want to say it. He's definitely not bought in, period. And with that,
well,
you know,
Steve,
but
in fairness, I think there's a difference between a guy not buying in and not being willing to try to do it and just being not good enough or physically incapable of doing the job. And I think, honestly, Myers is not the biggest guy in the world. I'm not sure he's capable of being an excellent blocker based on his body type and his physicality. But either way, you're right. He is not blocked the way the Giants need him to block. There's no question.
Well, listen, I just don't see the effort there. You know, I mean, I just don't see it. So I'm going to go ahead and say that he's just not trying. You know, but I definitely don't want to argue with you guys. I just wanted to, I think the running back is going to be a big part of our success moving forward, or not success, however you want to look at it. And I think, you know, the screen game, all those guys can catch an 8-10-foot pass. So I think we're fooling ourselves to think that there's certain running backs who can catch a screen pass and who can't. I think Vic hit it right on the nose when he said Eli's throwing it too early, and he's making bad calls with it, and he does. He looks very nervous back there. And that's been the key, to our lack of success. Is Eli playing better than what he has been playing? Because, quite frankly, the turnovers have killed us, and we need to clean that up moving forward. So I'm just wondering, what do you guys think we're going to do a little bit differently, moving forward? I think, the play call and, the balance has definitely helped us, and I would like to, see us continue that balance as far as, the pass-run ratio. And I'm just wondering, you guys, with us being at home, that kind of scares me. I mean, I don't like being at home because I don't know if it's the nightlife in New York or what's going on, but it seems to me that, we're just not as focused as we should be. And that comes on Tom Coughlin, obviously. I mean, is it a lack of practice? I mean, why
is
it that we
just
can't?
Yeah, but Steve, in the last 2 years, the Giants have been far better at home than they have been on the road. You go back to maybe 2011, 2007, maybe a little bit better on the road, but the last 2-3 years at home, they've been much better than they have been on the road.
Better, yes. Dominant, absolutely, I wouldn't say so.
Well, Steve,
I mean,
they were 6-2 at home last season.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'll give you that. I'll give you that. But I just want to know, what do you guys think we can do differently? Do you think we're doing things differently? Where we see a little bit of a new stuff? Are we going to use Lewis Murphy? I mean, you're talking about we don't have anybody else to take the top off the defense, but we haven't even, given Murphy a shot.
Well, he's been hurt, too. He's also been hurt. He's had a hamstring.
Yeah, well, what about Marcus Kuhn? Will he be back? Or?
I mean, it's possible, depending on – I think that he's shown signs of getting closer to full health. It depends on whether or not they'll be willing to activate him in time so that he can make the 53-man roster.
I honestly think Kuhn is ready to play. I think he can contribute. But the question is, where do you take the guy off the roster here? I mean, Mike Patterson and Sean Rogers have both been excellent. Linval Joseph's not going anywhere. Jonathan Hankins was your second-round pick. So if all those guys stay healthy, I'm just not sure there's a lot of time for Marcus Kuhn to play.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was thinking maybe we could deactivate one of those tight ends and not doing anything.
Well, but you may need to deactivate one of them to make room for a running back. You have to account for Andre Brown returning, Steve. That's why it's a tough numbers game. You know, you want to get Marcus Kuhn back in the mix, but you don't know if you can afford to get rid of a defensive tackle. And then you want to bring Andre Brown, potentially David Wilson, back. And then you have a situation there. So it's not easy right now in terms of the Giants' depth chart. But I will say this, Steve. Although it's attractive to get Marcus Kuhn back in the mix, if there's any position that they have a lot of depth in and has been a strength, has been defensive tackles. So I don't know if there's a glaring need, not that it would hurt the team to bring Marcus Kuhn back as opposed to trying to figure out and solve this running back situation.
Yeah. Oh, I definitely agree with you. I mean, I'm definitely not in a rush. I'm just wondering what his health was. But, you know, I'm just wondering, you know, basically wondering, you know, will we see, you know, balance going forward? Or, you know, I don't really think that, you know, the long ball has been working for us this year. I think, you know, given the balance is helping our defense tremendously. And I think we got the formula. So hopefully we will continue with what's been working and not try to do too much, guys.
Thanks, Dave.
So, hey, thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate it, Steve.
Now, he says the balance has helped the defense. I think the defense has helped allow the offense to achieve balance.
I think they've gone hand in hand, but the defense has protected leads and has given the Giants an opportunity to play in comfort situations where they're not trying to play catch-up the whole game.
They can run the ball even if it's not that effective.
And I'm looking at the balance numbers that I charted right before the bye week. The last few games, they have had great balance. Against Philadelphia in Week 8, Manning threw the ball 39 times. They ran the ball 31 times. The prior week against Minnesota, Manning threw the ball 39 times. They ran the ball 32 times.
Good numbers.
You go back to the Chicago game, he threw 26 times. They ran it 26 times. Perfect balance. The first Philly game, 17 rushes to 52 passes. The last three games, we've seen them head in a direction of balance compared to what had transpired over the first few.
And they played good defense those last three games. They haven't been trying to come from behind and make back big deficits, and I think that's a big reason for it.
Haven't given up a touchdown in the last 10 quarters.
201-939-4513. Let's go to JD down in Virginia. JD, what's going on?
Gentlemen, what's going on?
What's up, JD? Good to hear from you, pal.
Hey, man, the pleasure is mine. Thank you for once again for having the show, and most of all, thank you very
Thanks
much.
Thanks for calling.
You got it, JD.
Hey, I guess as a previous caller to you, I was also rooting for the Vikings, Raiders, and Chargers. And I'm going to say real quick, one quick note. The Chargers should have won that game. How do you use Danny Woodhead on a goal line stance? That's just my opinion. When you have Ryan Matthews and you also have a fullback. So, but they try to run a shotgun draw and put Danny Woodhead against men that are like 6'6", 350 plus, trying to run through a hole which is not there.
But I thought it was strange, too. I'm with you, JD.
But I digress. All in all is this. Of course, there's the running back situation. Do they go ahead and deactivate David Wilson and give him another year, wait to, you know, give him that project for next year? Maybe this wasn't his year. But give him another year to maybe next year might be for him. Marcus Kuhn, as much as I like to do, I feel that they're straight as far as defensive tackle, because that defensive tackle position, that thing is stacked and they're doing big things. Because if you notice, a lot of pressure is coming from the middle. Yeah, the ends are finally catching up, but I believe the most consistent section, the most consistent position has been the defensive tackle.
And they're stopping the run, JD.
Exactly. And that's the one thing that I'm hoping that the offense will actually begin to open up their eyes and realize that this defense has played balls to the wall for the last several weeks, but now we're waiting for the offense to come around and begin to execute. And that I really believe that if this offense begins to execute and, as they say, that light switch turn on, they will do something special this season. And that's because the defense is giving them each and every opportunity. Because when your defense gives you that opportunity, you have no excuse. You've got to convert. You've got to execute, bottom line, up front. My question is this. Of course, this season there are so many people, their contracts are – it's time to sign or leave. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you go from Akeem Nicks. I believe Tucker's contract is up. And then, of course, the Jerry Reese special one-year contract. Who are, like, the top three that you know that have – I mean, because my personal only one that I really would love to see them keep is John Beeson, because I really believe that, you know, actually looking at NewYorkGiants.com and them doing the thing about the crunch punch, I really believe that John Beeson can bring that fire back. Who else would you like to see stay with the team? Because, of course, you know, they do have those one-year contracts and they do have those players' contracts that will be up after this season.
You know, JD, that's a good question. And I don't want to do a cop-out answer here, but I think in a lot of ways it's too early to tell. I mean, I want to see how Akeem Nicks plays these final eight games of the year. I don't think they'll figure out a way to bring Linval Joseph back, only because I think he'll get too much money elsewhere, and the Giants have some young tackles like Marcus Kuhn, like Jonathan Hankins, that they do like. Right now, Brandon Myers, I don't think you would bring him back based on how he's played this year. Defensively, Antre Roseau is a year left on his deal. I think at this point you would have to seriously consider bringing back Terrell Thomas on his one-year contract. Corey Webster, I want to see how he plays the final eight games of the year after being injured the first eight. I would bring Kevin Booth back, even if you don't bring him back in a for-sure starting role. I think he's a great utility swing guy that's great for this team. I would definitely make sure Kevin Booth is back with this organization. I still want to see how John Connor plays. I know he lays some good blocks, but from what I understand, he has some issues sometimes lining up in the right places and understanding what the play is. So I think those are some of the important one-year guys, but you kind of have to wait and see. How about you, Lance?
Two other guys that I was going to throw out, Mike Patterson. I would at least consider bringing him back. And what about Tremaine McBride?
Yeah.
McBride, I think, has earned another year on this team at least.
And Aaron Ross, you got to make a decision on, too. That's another one-year contract, actually.
There have been a number of defensive players, to answer your question, where I think that they have stood out enough and they're not going to be too costly, where I think the Giants can afford to bring them back. On offense, I think there's a lot more question marks, as John mentioned, with respect to some offensive linemen that are going to be able to hit the market, and to Akeem Nicks, which is clearly the big question mark, because I think these next eight games will determine whether or not he's willing to take the next step in proving that he deserves a big contract and also showing the Giants that he wants to stay. Remember, Akeem Nicks is a free agent, has the option to test the market. That's what you get when you're a free agent.
No, the Giants can franchise him.
Correct.
So, really, he is under control of the Giants for one more year if they want him here. And depending on how Ruben Randle plays in the second half of the year, JD, I think that'll go a long way to determining whether or not the Giants do want to either lock up Akeem Nicks long term or franchise him for a year if they don't think Ruben Randle is ready yet.
Fellas, as always, thank you very much for taking my call. And I do want to commend y'all. When you see a person that talks negatively about the Giants, you hit them statistically, and it's all in the numbers. I guess like that show, numbers of a lie. thank you very much for taking my call. I do want to give a shout-out to Mr. Chuck Knox for producing his videos, because that's the only thing that kept me focused this past week. Gentlemen, thank you for the time.
All right, JD. All right,
JD.
As always, my friend.
Thanks
so
much.
Hey, look, and folks, we're not hiding any negatives here. There's a million negatives to go around. I mean, the team started 0-6. They're 2-6 after eight games. They've been terrible. I mean, the coaches haven't done a great job. The personnel people haven't done a great job. The players, have done a worse job than all of them. And, look, they have to get better. 2-6, nobody's happy here. The quarterback hasn't played well. Early offensive line woes, I think, as Victor said earlier in the show, has spooked him a little bit. And when he gets pressure, he bad mechanics. Sometimes I think he senses pressure when it's not there. Because of those early offensive line woes, he's played poorly. He's made bad decisions, committed way too many turnovers. The running back situation was supposed to be saved this year by David Wilson. Was ineffective, then he gets hurt. Andre Brown gets hurt. Akeem Nicks has not looked like himself. Ruben Randle hasn't taken as big of a step as a lot of people would have liked him to take this year. And defensively, look, you haven't gotten the pass rush you need out of this team. Justin Tuck's been okay. Good against the run and rushing the passer, which is fine. Jason Pierre-Paul has given you virtually nothing this year. Mathias Kiwanuka has given you virtually nothing this year.
Very quiet.
Demontre Moore, it's been play one game, out two with an injury. So he hasn't given you a whole lot. So until John Beeson came here, the linebackers didn't give you much, except for Spencer Pacing, who's been pretty solid from the start of the year. So, look, there's a ton of negatives to go around here, and no one escapes it. at this type of record, nothing's bad. But 8 games left. It's a lot of evaluating. Maybe you get lucky. You make a run here. You win a bunch of games in a row. The NFC East teams continue to lose. Maybe you find a way to get into the playoffs. But look, at this point, Lance, and this is a theme I've used on the show a lot, you just got to play better. I want to see this team play better football and show they really are a better team than what they showed the first 8 games.
And that has to come on offense, John.
Yep.
I've been impressed with what I've seen out of the defense recently. You want to say, well, it was the Vikings, it was the Eagles, let's not get too excited. But I think the unit overall has made some strides. Look at the plays that Terrell Thomas, just the fact that his knee is returning to full form and he's able to return to that playmaker that he had shown before he tore his ACL multiple times. And the emergence of Will Hill and John Beeson have really helped flip this defense around.
Hey, look. And you're going to know about this defense after this game against Oakland. Oakland, you know, they don't have a lot of weapons. Pryor, more of another passer. Injuries, McFadden, Pryor, too. But after that, you get Green Bay, Dallas, the Redskins, the Chargers, the Seahawks, the Lions, and the Redskins. Those are all top of the half of the league offensive teams, probably. I put the Chargers in the top half of the league offensively.
They've looked really good this season.
The Lions have been very good offensively. The Redskins are certainly improving. The Seahawks are good, not as good away from home, obviously. But none of those teams are easy teams to deal with defensively. So we'll know about this Giants defense by the end of the year, even though they have hit some soft patches here in the last couple of games. But you're right, it comes down to the offense. Can this offense score enough points to win? I mean, look, they scored 31 against Dallas. The 23 against Denver was fine, but some of that came in garbage time at the end of the game. Carolina, they get shut out. They only score 7 against Kansas City, 21 against a horrible Philadelphia defense at that point. That was before they started to turn it around. The Bears have not had a good defense this year, only 21 points in that game. 23 against a Minnesota defense, which has been one of the worst in football. So that's okay. And then last week, only 15 against the Philadelphia defense. That's not great. So the offense has to improve. It has to get better.
That's the one facet, other than special teams, which clearly needs to improve based on the shortcomings that that unit has showcased over the last few games.
That's been the worst of all three.
In terms of the rankings, you got to put special teams at the top, followed by offense and then defense.
This team's allowed 6 special team touchdowns.
Inexcusable. 6. And that's been the difference maker in some of these games from a momentum standpoint.
It is 6, right? I'm not miscounting that.
Well, it was Trindon Holiday, Dexter McCluster,
Dwayne Harris.
The Vikings.
Dwayne Harris got one on this team or no?
No, Dwayne Harris did not get one.
Okay.
I think it was, I thought it was 3, if I'm correct. The Bears did not get a special teams touchdown. They got Tim James.
You know what? The number 6 I had in my head was 6 return touchdowns. I think that was including on the defensive end. So maybe that's where I got the 6 number from. So you had the Trindon Holiday. You had the Dexter McCluster. You had the bad snap last week, which turned into a touchdown.
Correct. That's a special teams touchdown.
Sure,
you're right. And
sure
the Vikings had a return themselves.
So they had 4.
That's right.
4. Not 6, sorry. There might have been 6 total with defensive touchdowns.
Well, the Bears had a defensive touchdown, and the Cowboys had a defensive touchdown. Brandon Carr returned it. Actually, the Cowboys had 2. So you probably include a defensive touchdown. Dallas
Maybe.
Returned 2 mistakes for the Giants into the end zone.
Did the fumble. Chiefs get a defensive touchdown in that game? Did they ever return for a touchdown? They might have.
No, I don't believe the Chiefs had. I just think they had the McCluster. They did not have a defensive touchdown in that game.
How about the Panthers? Did they have a defensive touchdown in that game?
No.
They didn't, right?
Newton threw all over the place in that contest.
So that's 7 total return touchdowns then, I guess.
When you take defense and special teams into consideration. And remember, the Vikings had a good return with Patterson for, 69 yards in that game. That could have nearly been returned for a score, too.
Great point. Awesome play by a
lot of borderline
Roll,
plays.
Right? Made that good play on
Correct.
The tackle?
Yeah. So that unit overall definitely needs to improve. Because the last thing you want to do, listen, it's one thing if you give the Vikings good favorable field position, John. You hand Dallas a gift. You hand Washington a gift. You hand Detroit, Seattle, Green Bay. I mean, I could go through every opponent in the second half of the season. That's basically saying, why don't you just walk into the end zone? You can't do that.
You
put your defense in a very bad position, which is what happened in the early goings in the season. That Dallas game, week 1, how did the defense have to rescue the offense time and time again early in that contest? Dallas had gifts.
Yeah.
This game could have been wide open for the Cowboys in week 1. They couldn't punch it in.
And in fairness, it's not the kick coverage either. The kick coverage has been one of the best in the NFL. It's the punt coverage that's just been terrible.
All across the board. have not had a playmaker on special teams where you say, wow, this guy out there is going to make a key tackle or make a tackle right in the back of the end zone to give the Giants some type of a spark. It just has not happened. It has not come to fruition in the early goings of the season, and that has to turn around, and the offense has to turn around because we mentioned, as John said, you put up 23 points against the Vikings. You put up 15 against the Eagles. That's all well and said. You put those numbers up against some of the upcoming opponents, you're probably not going to walk away with a victory.
Final call of the show. I'm not sure if this guy's ever hit cleanup before for us, but he's going to today, and that's Len down in Maryland. Len, what did you do with your bye week? Spending some time with the grandkids, a little time on the porch. A little chilly, though, this weekend. How'd you spend it?
Well, I tried to stay away from football, but I did watch a full 7 hours yesterday, maybe even longer than that.
Mission failed.
Hey, it's good to have the show back. Hope you guys are doing well.
We are.
Listen, I'm going to be a little critical of some of your comments this morning, but this is just one big happy family, right? So we can be a little critical.
Well, we'll see.
I know 0-6 has put us in a terrible hole, but, hey, I'm not ready to talk about next year or the year after that and who's coming back. That decision's going to take care of itself in the next 8 weeks.
Sure.
And we're going to find out what guys really want to pull that blue jersey on. And we're going to find out which one of these guys can really play here.
I think that's fair.
Let me ask you a question about Reuben Randall. I know his name came up a couple of times. I noted, and maybe I'm wrong on this, the game against the Eagles, he seemed to lose some playing time to Jarrell Jernigan. What the heck's going on there?
I think they want to
– Is that just –
No, Len, I think the team's honestly trying to see what Jarrell Jernigan can give him because they're going to have to make a decision on him after the year too, and I think they're trying to give Jarrell Jernigan some playing time and see exactly what he could offer this team. I had a chance to talk to Kevin Gilbride Jr., one of the assistant coaches last week, and he told me they're very happy with the job he's doing, and he's really made a lot of strides finally getting on the field and beating some of those injuries this year. So, frankly, I think they just want to see what Jarrell Jernigan can give him a little bit.
Well, let me comment on that if I might. That's just coach speak, guys. Come on, Jernigan got on the field. You play your best players. I mean, we're only eight games in. We're playing Jernigan because we want to see what he can do. We've had 3 years with Jarrell. Come on, we know what Jarrell Jernigan can do. What I want to know is what's going on with Reuben Randall. I'm not sure you guys are giving me the answer to that question, but, let me go on to something else. Last Monday, a week ago, a great show. Right at the end of the show, you got into Green Zone Offense. Wonderful discussion. You got some great tweets using words like creativity and so forth. I don't know if you remember all of that, guys, but it was a very good 15 minutes. And I just want to use a little different word because I think some guys were really onto some things there. Phil Simms calls it deception. He says when you get inside the 20-yard line, you can't run your base offense. You've got to change things up. Look at the Redskins yesterday. Now, I know we're talking goal line. They wants to watch Notre Dame and Navy on Saturday. They ran the damn fullback 3 times from the 1 yard line. When was the last time we ran the fullback, let alone from the 1 yard line? They ran Roy Nail Young 3 times from the 1 yard line. They believe they did it once. They believe they could do it a second and a third time. You don't run that kind of play unless you think you can do it. And they did overwhelm the Chargers with those plays. But, hey, the week before, Stafford on a quick quarterback sneak from the one. I know I'm not advocating Eli as a runner with the ball. But you know what? It's in the playbook, guys. When we get down in that green zone, we got to change. The only thing we got is the fade.
No, but Len, I agree with you. But what are you talking about here? You're talking about getting a power running game going with your fullback. The Giants have not been able to do that for a good 2-3 seasons.
Well, listen, Roy Nail Young has run the ball twice this season. He scored one touchdown. I mean, you could say the same thing about Roy Nail Young. It's in the playbook.
No, but I understand. But, Len, I don't care who's running the ball. If the offensive line can't get you the push to get into the end zone, it's not going to work.
Okay, good point. Excellent point. Even in the Navy Notre Dame game, and I want to relate to it only for this reason. I mean, Navy's offensive line, they moved the line of scrimmage 3 yards onto the defensive side, and that's why they ran for 350 yards. It was really an unbelievable performance by those kids on Saturday against much better athletes. But so I agree with that. I hope I hope the Giants spend 2 weeks talking about green zone offense, because we got to get the darn ball in the end zone. Five field goals are not going to win this game for us. And, you know, I'm taking too much of your time already. I'll get back to you later in the week. But, you know, green zone offense, and, you know, let's quit talking about next year and the year ahead. We got 8 games left. Come on, let's win some football games here. And then we, you know, play hard right up through December 29th at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, check the standings, see where the hell we are, and then start making some decisions. This team's got to win football games. And we got some guys. I tell you, good point about Booth. I like Booth. He's got to play better. Beatty's got to play better. The other three offensive linemen, look, it's what it is. Jim Cordell, David Deal. We got a rookie at right tackle. Everybody's excited about the guy, and I like him too. But Booth and Beatty have got to play better. I think Brandon Myers has a big second half, guys. I think Brandon Myers has a big, big second half. On defense, we got to get the pass rush. And I want to see it come from inside. All that chipping, fullback blocking, all that chipping on the ends are not getting there. Listen, Linville Joseph wants a new contract next year. He wants a big contract. He wants to play with the big boys. Linville needs 5 sacks in the second half of this season. Linville Joseph has got to dominate if the Giants are going to bring back next year. You don't bring back defensive tackles that don't dominate. They don't get second contracts, guys, unless you're Sue. And unless maybe the guy on the Jets, this kid Richardson, good football player, can dominate a game. Linville's got to dominate inside. Jenkins is getting double-teamed almost on every play. Come on, Linville. Let's go. Step it up. Let's get some sacks. I'm counting on Linville in the second half. All right, let's go, Giants. We'll talk later in the week, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem. All right, Len. Anytime. Give us a call tomorrow. Everything else you have on your bi-week list of things to cover. We like it.
Boy, Len covered a lot in that phone call. I wanted to piggyback off of a few. Number one, I thought Jim Cordell has been a bright spot on this offensive line. And I'm not saying that Len was being a downer on Jim Cordell, but Cordell and Booth, to me, have been the two offensive linemen that have shown the most consistency out of the whole group.
Cordell's played a lot better than I thought he would. Based on what we saw, based on what we saw from him in the preseason, I think he's been far more consistent, at least in terms of pass protection, than what we saw in the preseason.
Justin Pugh's a rookie. You're going to get what you get out of a rookie. Will Beatty, I agree with Len. You expected Will Beatty to come in on that left tackle spot, protecting Eli Manning's blind side, and pick up where he's left off in prior seasons despite the new contract, and that hasn't necessarily panned out.
No, in the last month, he's been a lot better.
He has. Drastic improvement. I think the offensive line as a whole has taken steps in the right direction.
Well, and I want to see Pugh show some improvement here after 8 weeks. He's not a rookie anymore. He's played NFL football games. He is in a bye week to recover a little bit. You know, maybe he'll hit the rookie wall, not used to playing 16 games. That's fine. But I want to see some of those mental errors go away.
And with the offensive line improving, getting back to the point that you and Len were going back with one another about the creativity in the red zone situations, right. If the offensive line picks up where it left off before the bye and you get some better push, then the Giants can add some running plays into the playbook moving forward. I don't see why they can't utilize it. Doesn't necessarily have to be John Connor. Give Peyton Hillis the ball when you're 2 yards out. You don't have to necessarily throw a fade into the corner of the end zone and use your 3 wide receivers. You have the running personnel right now. With the way this offensive line is playing, that getting it from 2 yards out should not be an issue. Maybe a few weeks ago, I would have said, okay, I don't know how much confidence you have in this Giants front group being able to get the push and the penetration that it needs to punch it in. Now, I think they have made enough improvement to say it should not be an issue.
And, you know, Ben Gruen on Twitter's made a great point. Problem is every time we get into the red zone, we get a procedural penalty. Then we can't run from 2 yards out because we're at the 12. Makes a great point. Very rarely have the Giants been first and goal inside the 5 this year. Very rarely.
Every time they've taken 2 steps forward, they take 3 steps back. And the penalties have plagued this team, specifically against the Eagles.
And going back to the first point, I don't think there is an answer on Reuben Randle that you're looking for. I mean, he's played an awful lot this year. And frankly, I've seen Gerald Jernigan out there in a lot of 2-wide receiver sets, either in there for Nix or Cruz in a lot of spots on first and second down. I'm not sure if you guys have noticed that, but that actually has been the case. And the Giants actually use Lewis Murphy in those type of situations as well before he got hurt earlier in the year. So I don't think we've seen Jernigan in there for Reuben Randle. Remember, when Jernigan goes in there, if he's in there in 3 wide receiver sets, he's going to be in the slot. So Reuben Randle's not going to be a slot player in those situations. So I really don't think Jernigan's taking away time from Reuben Randle, to be quite honest with you. I think he's trying to give Victor Cruz a bit of a blow from time to time. So he's not playing every single offensive snap, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. And a couple people on Twitter, well, why are you still finding out what this guy can do 3 years into his career? And you're right. He should have given you some his first 2 years. Drill Jernigan has been an unmitigated disaster. He hasn't given you anything. There's absolutely no doubt about that. But he's also had a lot of injury issues, so some of his opportunities have been limited in years past. And they think he's playing well enough that he deserves to be on the field. They wouldn't give him playing time if he didn't deserve it, folks. Look, he's been here for 2 years. If they wanted to give him playing time, he would have gotten it already. They think he's playing well enough. And look, I've talked to enough people about how he's been playing, and they've been pretty happy with him and how he's been playing. So, guy plays well enough, he shows improvement, you want to reward him with some playing time.
Well, one of the things that Kevin L. Gilbride had thrown out prior to the season was Jernigan suffered in terms of not getting enough separation with his opposition. So that was, I think, an area that they've seen some improvement out of. And you're right, Victor Cruz got hurt in that Eagles game, remember? So that's why I think Jernigan got some additional snaps. In terms of why Jernigan is getting more opportunities than maybe a Lewis Murphy, I think it comes down to the slot spot. Jernigan is going to play out of that more so than some of the other wide receivers. And listen, Gilbride addressed the media, and you were there Tuesday while I was hosting the show, John. You want to dismiss it as coaches talk?
I have a nice big one-on-one with Kevin M. Gilbride Jr. too on the website.
Well, then everybody's got to check that out.
Just
that goes without
it out
saying.
There. I'm happy you took the time over the weekend to watch what's on Giants.com.
Well, I did. I also read the transcripts to catch up on what I missed in person. I like to hear from the assistants because sometimes they shed additional light on some of the things that the coordinators won't.
Look, I can't say enough. For you fans out there on hashtag Giants chat and listening on the radio, on the internet, excuse me, if you have an opportunity to have 20, 25 minutes or half an hour of free time, go on Giants.com and just listen and watch to every one of those Giants assistant coaches' media avails from last week. They say a lot of stuff. Sometimes you have to read between the lines a little bit, but they say a lot of stuff that really gives you some answers as to why this team's having certain issues, where they're having issues. Must watch, no question about it.
And one of the things Gilbride talked about was Lewis Murphy not getting on the field because of a numbers game. I don't think that's coaches talk. That, to me, is the truth. Who are you willing to sacrifice, Giants fans, to get Lewis Murphy on the field? You want to take Akiem Nicks, Victor Cruz, and Reuben Randall off the field just so you can say Lewis Murphy's out there to run a 40-yard dash?
And by the way, Lewis Murphy played plenty in the preseason. Did he make one play? Did he make more than two plays in practice for 4 weeks during training camp? I was here. I watched every practice. Let me tell you, he didn't. He was invisible.
And I'm not going to go so far to say Lewis Murphy getting additional reps is going to change the Giants' 0-6 start.
No.
So I think we have to put things in perspective from that department and say, listen, Murphy would have been nice if he would have shown more consistency, stayed healthy, would have given them maybe a big play here or there on offense, but Lewis Murphy is not what held the Giants back in the first six games. I mean, you have to look at things as a whole. Between the offensive line, the lack of a running game, Eli Manning's decision-making, those are the factors why the Giants struggled. Not because Lewis Murphy wasn't on the field.
And, in fact, tomorrow, Lance and I will take a relook over those transcripts, watch those things ourselves, and we'll try to go through tomorrow some of the bigger and larger points that the assistant coaches brought up last week that we could talk about on tomorrow morning's show.
Also, I thought it was very interesting what Dave Merritt and Peter Ginter brought up about
the
secondary.
Save it for tomorrow's show.
We will. Just a little tease there. You see how you like to publicize some of your exclusive interviews with the Gilbride clan? Yeah. I'm giving them a little tease for tomorrow.
Also, a little bit from Robert Nunn, I thought. Interesting insight on why maybe the pass rush isn't where it has to be so far this year, too. So check out Big Blue Kickoff Live tomorrow morning at 9:30 right here on Giants.com. We'll go through all that. It should be a lot of fun. And Giants.com the rest of the day as we get ready for the Oakland Raiders on Sunday at 1 o'clock. By the way, the Giants did have a schedule change.
I was just going to bring that up.
You
read my mind.
You pointed at me, and it made my mind click. The game against Green Bay on November 17th. Lance, you got a pen over there? I'm going to change it on our trusty little schedule here. It is no longer an 8:30 NBC start. It is now at 4:25, which means on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Monday morning the 18th, Lance and I will be much less cranky, which makes for maybe more of a boring show, but it's better for us.
Anytime we could get an additional Z in, I'm not going to necessarily complain. And I can't necessarily blame the NFL.
I was
Broncos,
surprised,
Chiefs.
Though, yeah, Broncos, Chiefs.
Chiefs likely going to be unbeaten. No, they will be undefeated because they're heading into the bye, Kansas City.
Well, they have one more game before that, though, too. Oh, no, they don't. You're right. That is their only bye week. You're right. I'm sorry. My math.
So that's going to be a marquee matchup.
Yes. It should be. Yeah. And you know what? In fairness, it's hard to pass on Broncos Chiefs. That's an excellent football game.
Well, that was a game, from what I read.
Game of the year right there.
Can't argue against that. And correct me if I'm wrong, I read that CBS was protecting that game all along and then all of a sudden gave in last minute because the NFL was pressuring them, saying this is a game that we want a national audience
I promise for. You they got a gift down the road for that, too.
Probably a give and take.
Exactly. Lance, appreciate the time as always, my friend.
We'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow morning. Big Blue Kickoff Live, 9:30 right here on Giants.com. Be there.